Grace and peace to you from God our Father. You are entitled to sin. I stopped in my tracks when I saw these words on a door which I passed by, exploring a new city on vacation. You are entitled to sin. Why on earth would anybody write these words on a door? You are entitled to sin. I went a bit closer to investigate, and with each step I took, it dawned on me I had fallen into the trap that the shop owner had prepared for me and all the other potential customers walking by. You are entitled to sin was written on a door that opened to a shop with expensive chocolates. If the sign would have simply said, "Very expensive chocolates, handmade specialities, you'll use all your money here," I would have never thought twice about stopping and coming closer. The shop owner, however, was clever. He knew of the curiosity of people, of their desires, and mine especially, and how to awaken them. You are entitled to sin. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Sunday as the watchword for the week and the epistle urge us to consider what it means to live as a child of God, I wish it would be more obvious to me when I'm attracted to sin, when I'm tempted. But more often than not, I only figure it out when I've fallen for it, when my ethics, my guiding principles have gone out of the window, are thrown around, and I've done something that I should have not, when words have left my mouth that should have not even been in my heart and mind, especially if I call myself a Christian, profess to be one. If I take it seriously, that I'm supposed to live as a child of the light. Sometimes, however, my selfishness is stronger than my urge to reach out to others. Sometimes my desire to rest and have some time to myself is stronger than seeing or phoning a friend who's going through a difficult period in his life, or to whom I haven't spoken for a long time. Especially if you are in ministry like you, the Shontanes family, you know what I mean. If you have a people-oriented occupation, if you work in a kindergarten, a school, in a supermarket, in a hospital, in these days at the public pool here at the Anabat, you know what it means to work with people every day. And it is a difficult question as a Christian, when to retreat and when to reach out. And therefore, I think we should consider it as it is holiday season. If people are at the center of your heart and reaching out to people, if trying to live as a child of the light is at the center of your identity as a Christian, it is not easy to keep the balance between replenishing your energy by retreating and thereby offending people and being available, even at times when you actually need rest and sleep. Therefore, I take it as an encouragement that Jesus, the center of our teaching and preaching of our faith, the light himself, took time out away from people. Not for pleasure and leisure, for recreation, as many of us travel these days, but he went to a deserted place to fast, to focus on his relationship with his Heavenly Father before he began his ministry to the people of Israel. The spirit leads him to retreat in the desert. It is the same practice that is applied in the lives of Moses and Elijah. They are prepared for the next phase of their ministry in the desert. So let us listen to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from my mouth, from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus is hungry. 40 days and nights of fasting have left him longing for food and drink. Just one little piece of bread to ease the pain in his stomach. Just one sip of water to quench the thirst. For his human nature, it must have been unbearable. No shop in sight. No manna drops from heaven as the people of Israel had received it. No ravens come to feed him the way Elijah was provided for in the desert. But the tempter enters the scene. He does not say, "You are entitled to sin," and opens the door to a shop full of lovely, expensive chocolates. No, the tempter is way more subtle than this. And still, straight to the point. The tempter attacks Jesus' identity by saying, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." When someone gets his or her go at me, I'm most vulnerable when my identity is under attack. A friend and colleague of mine was cut to the heart by a comment of her teenage daughter. "You are never there for us," she complained, "only for other people." This loving mother was hurt. Her teenage daughter knew that this is her identity, and therefore also her weak point when she's stressed or tired, feels low and rushed. If you are a loving mother, give me permission to hang out with my friends till late, she would argue in such moments. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus was hungry and is attacked by aiming at the core of his identity, "If you are the Son of God." Was he hurt? Did he get angry? Did he feel the need to start an argument to justify himself? We don't know anything. But the answer that is handed down to us in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus uses other people's words. He quotes from Scripture to counter the argument. The devil takes him to another core center of identity from the desert, where the foundational journey as the people of Israel under Moses' leadership had begun, to the holy city which King David had established and where King Solomon had built the temple. Until today, Jerusalem is at the center of identification for millions of people. Sadly enough, the center of attention and tension. It is right there in Jerusalem that Jesus' identity is questioned again. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. What hurts me most about this passage is that the devil uses a psalm that speaks of trust in God's protection. The devil abuses verses that are still dear to many Christians who have sought refuge in it when they are in danger. When they were at their lowest. In Germany, many parents choose these very words in baptism. Thereby they express their longing for their young baby's life being protected. The devil tosses the meaning of these very words of comfort and hope around to tempt Jesus. And for the second time, Jesus responds with scripture. He goes back to the book of Deuteronomy, the book of the second law, back to the greatest commandment. He quotes from the chapter that is at the very heart of Jewish identity, for it contains the Jewish confession of faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Therefore, you shall not put the Lord your God to a test. Jesus stands firm. Even when he is tested for a third time by being shown all the kingdoms of the world and their glory from the highest mountain. The mountain is another location that marks important moments in Israel's history that shaped its identity. But now Jesus has enough. Before quoting another verse, he addresses his tempter directly, "Be gone, Satan." How many today give in when they are given the opportunity to have their share of power and wealth, of glory and fame? For some, it is just too tempting to become part of the rich and famous. In how many elections around the globe do parties play that card of strengthening people's national identity in order to get their votes at the expense of those who are weak and vulnerable in the country? It's the expense of those who seek and need refuge on the continent. In South Africa, with a rising unemployment rate of over 36%, I learned how difficult it is to resist if you are given a shady job that helps you to put food on the table, to provide for your family. And thereby, you have the opportunity to prove yourself as the caring father or mother, the caring son or daughter that you long to be for your family. Therefore, you feel you are entitled to sin. Be gone, Satan, when I feel entitled to sin. Heavenly Father, deliver me from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Be gone, Satan, so that I will also experience how the angels will administer to my needs. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ gathered here on this Sunday in a Lutheran church, I would like to remind you of what he did when he felt tempted, When he fought, his thoughts of doubt agonized with the devil when he felt the responsibility of his ministry for the people and the Reformation movement resting on his shoulders. Martin Luther wrote on his desk, Baptismus sum, I have been baptized. So in his struggles with his workload, with depression and self-worth, with his identity as the one who had discovered the understanding of the righteousness of God in a new way, in his hour of need, Martin Luther returned to his baptism as the solid foundation of his faith. That was his recreation as a Christian. I've been baptized. I am a son, I am a daughter of God. That is my identity. Nobody can take that away from me, no ifs nor small prints in that promise, but by Christ alone, to God's glory alone. It was by God's grace alone that Martin Luther was sustained through his many struggles and temptations, relying on the promise of baptism to wash away the sin. It was by the Spirit of God alone that Jesus could keep his identity as the Son of God when he met the devil in the desert. It is the same Spirit who lives in us to strengthen us and sustain us in our temptation. As long as we live, we will be prone to sin because of our fallen human nature. We will always tend to be selfish. But we are not entitled to sin, as the owner of the chocolate shop proclaimed. However, we are entitled to confess our sins, to bring them to God in prayer, for we are his children through baptism, and nobody can take that identity away from us. When we repent, the water of our baptism will then wash us clean once again, and he will heal and strengthen us through the piece of bread and the sip of wine. Remember your identity. When you are at the lowest and struggle with your self-worth, and when the image of others might have made of you hurts you, remember your identity when you have to make important decisions about your own or your family's future. Remember your identity when you're at the polling station or at the till at the shops. Remember who you are. In the eyes of your Creator, you are and will stay his beloved son, his beloved daughter. Not if you are a son, a daughter of God, you will live a righteous life. But since you are a son, a daughter of God, you will try to live your life and deal with temptation accordingly. Furthermore, all of us are called to proclaim the good news of his love and grace for us, of our identity as children of the light. For the one who was tempted to sin, who was tempted to behold all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, is the very same one who said to his disciples in the end, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the earth." And the peace of God that passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.